So with Psalm 40, it says, I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked. Finally he listened. He lifted me out of the ditch. He pulled me from the deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this. They enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. Blessed are you who give yourselves over to God. Turn your backs on the world's sure thing. Ignore what the world worships. The world's a huge stockpile of God wonders and God thoughts. Nothing and no one comes close to me. I start talking about you, telling what I know, and quickly run out of words. Neither numbers nor words account for you. Doing for something for you, bringing something to you, that's not what you're after. Being religious, acting pious, that's not what you're asking for. You've opened my ears so I can listen. So I answered, I'm coming. I read in your letter what you wrote about me, and I'm coming to the party you're throwing for me. That's when God's word entered my life, became part of my very being. I preached you to the whole congregation. I've kept nothing back. God, you know that. I didn't keep the news of your way a secret, didn't keep it to myself. I told it all, how dependable you are, how thorough. I didn't hold back pieces of love and truth for myself alone. I told it all, let the congregation know the whole story. Now, God, don't hold out on me. Don't hold back your passion. Your love and truth are all that keeps me together. When troubles ganged up on me, a mob of sins past counting, I was so swamped by guilt, I couldn't see my way clear. More guilt in my heart than hair in my head, so heavy the guilt that my heart gave out. Soften up, God, and intervene. Hurry up and get me some help. For those who are trying to kidnap my soul will be embarrassed and lose face. So anyone who gets a kick out of making me miserable will be heckled and disgraced. So those who pray for my ruin will be booed and jeered without mercy. But all who are hunting for you, well, let them sing and be happy. Let those who know what you're all about tell the world you're great and not quitting. And me, I'm a mess. I'm nothing and have nothing. Make something of me. You can do it. You've got what it takes. But God, don't put it off.
Before we go to the next one, a couple notes. I noticed Psalm 40. So many things. Verse 2. And you brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And the message translation was that one, right?
Yep.
So the New King James says miry clay, and so does the Amplified. When I hear miry clay, I immediately think of the vision with the governments that was given to Nebuchadnezzar, I believe.
Yeah.
And the last government, as it were the feet, which were a mixture of iron and miry clay. And miry clay speaks to man, and the iron speaks to what was the Roman Empire, which still exists, not in the fashion that we would consider an empire, but it still exists. And so when he's lifting us out of the miry clay, he's also lifting us not only out of the mud, but he's lifting us out of the control of the profane and perverted government structures that are left on the earth. Ron?
Yeah. You got that exactly right.
Any other comments on that?
Well, if you look at the very last part of that verse there in the second verse, look at where he removes us from that. But right. Then look at right what's next. And he set my feet
on a rock.
Upon a rock. And that rock is Christ.
I believe you found the equivalent of that rock over in Greek. You would find it to be Petros.
Yeah.
Peter is a rock.
Petros,
rather. And Petra is like a rock of Gibraltar, you know, as compared to a large rock, a rock of Gibraltar.
Yeah.
The other thing, as soon as you said in verse 17, I am poor and needy, I'm having a flash here, that is part of the description of the Thyatira church in Revelation. Mm-hmm. You think you're wealthy and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but you are actually poor, needy, naked, and et cetera. Because when you said earlier about the new song, and there, and here again, it was a song, right? The new worship song. The Holy Spirit has been on me today and part of yesterday about we need to write the song, which is the Overcomer's song in Revelation 5, isn't it?
It's possible. I don't recall offhand.
Let's see here. Yeah, Revelation 5, 9 and 10.
9 and 10.
8 is, now when they had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, yep, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, and this has been called the Overcomer's song. Mm-hmm. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.
Amen.
And I'm asking the Lord to give me what the music is for that, mm-hmm, which I don't expect to hear in heaven, but at least we have the starting point.
Amen.
Does anyone else want to comment on Psalm 40?
Also, one of the things for us, if I remarked in there, we are, yes, weak. But when we will recognize and admit to the Lord that apart from Him, yes, we are absolutely weak and we have no power nor authority, but in Him, when we move in Him and we let Him operate in and through us, then the power is there and He'll move. He'll accomplish, because as His word is spoken through a spirit of faith, then the word gets accomplished. There's no way out of it.
And we need to remember that one of our objectives here, because it was the objective of one of the objectives that the Lord mentioned in John 17, mm-hmm, and He said, Lord, Father, glorify your name. And then, Father, glorify my name. Mm-hmm. This is not about us. This is about, God. It's all about Him.
Yeah.
So who's going to read Psalm 33?
So Psalm 33. Good people, cheer God. Right living people sound best when praising. Use guitars to reinforce your hallelujahs. Play His praise on a grand piano. Invert your own new song to Him. Give Him a trumpet fanfare. For God's word is solid to the core. Everything He makes is sound inside and out. He loves it when everything fits, when His world is in plumb line truth. Earth is drenched in God's affectionate satisfaction. The skies were made by God's command. He breathed the word and the stars popped out. He scooped sea into His jug, put ocean in His keg. Earth creatures bow before God, world dwellers down on your knees. Here's why. He spoke, and there it was, in place the moment He said so. God takes the wind out of Babel pretense. He shoots down the world's power schemes. God's plan for the world stands up. All His designs are made to last. Blessed is the country with God for good, with God for God. Blessed are the people He's put in His will. From high in the skies, God looks around. He sees all Adam's brood. From where He sits, He overlooks all us earth dwellers. He has shaped each person in turn. Now He watches everything we do. No king succeeds with a big army alone. No warrior wins by brute strength. Horsepower is not the answer. No one gets by on muscle alone. Watch this. God's eye is on those who respect Him, the ones who are looking for His love. He's ready to come to their rescue in bad times. In lean times, He keeps body and soul together. We're depending on God. He's everything we need. What's more, our hearts brim with joy since we've taken for our own His holy name. Love us, God, with all you've got. That's what we're depending on.
So, verse 5 and 18, and also back in Psalm 40, where we started, that word in 5 and 18, in 5, it is loving kindness of the Lord. I believe that word is chesed, which we've talked about before, which is mercy, loving kindness, which comes from the covenant cut, actually between promises made by the Holy Spirit, covenant between God and Abraham, which actually was the promises were made between God and Jesus. Mm-hmm. And those covenant promises are ours because we are in Jesus. We are part of him. Mm-hmm. And therefore that loving kindness, and that loving kindness is a special kind of, it's translated mercy and loving kindness. It's a special kind of mercy, loving kindness. It's the kind that God could not find anyone else of higher authority to swear by. So he swore by himself that he would provide mercy and loving kindness, which is protection, is a whole number of things there for those that are in his covenant, and we are.
The proof that he cut that covenant with himself, if you go back in Genesis,
yeah,
when he Abraham prepared the animals and put the halves on each side, the right and the left, and then God, what did he do? He put Abraham to sleep, and he passed in between. And right. Made the covenant, he declared the covenant with himself at that point. That's your basis to go back
to. When you're passing through the middle of that covenant, you're passing through all the blood.
That's right.
It's a bloody, bloody situation.
Exactly.
But without the blood, we're all lost.
That's right.
I mean, there's no other way to say it. Well, there are many other ways to say it, okay?
Yeah.
In Spanish and, you know. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone having fun yet? I didn't hear anything.
I just saw a hand go up.
Oh, okay. One person's having fun. Okay.
Well, a second one.
Someone want to say something?
Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. Now, I'm going to start Isaiah 30, verse 19, all the way to 33. Yep, that was the highlight there. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the highlight there. Isaiah 30, 19 through 33. Unless somebody wants to read it, y'all, let me know. Y'all. amen. Lord, I'll give you guys a sec. Again, okay,
I'll read it. A different translation. Okay. I'll read the Amplified, starting in verse 19.
Yeah.
O people who dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, which is a study by itself, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes will constantly behold your teacher. And your eyes will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, then you will defile your carved images overlaid with silver and your molten images plated with gold. You will cast them away as a filthy, blood-stained cloth, and you will say to them, be gone. Then will he give you rain for the seed with which you sow the soil, and bread grain from the produce of the ground, and it will be rich and plentiful. In that day your cattle will feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise and the young donkeys that till the ground will eat savory and salted fodder, which has been winnowed with shovel and with fork. And upon every high mountain and upon every high hill there will be brooks and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter, the day of the Lord, when the towers fall and all his enemies are destroyed. Moreover, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold, like the light of 7 days concentrated in one. In the day that the Lord binds up the hurt of his people and heals their wound inflicted by him because of their sins, behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger and in thick rising smoke. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is like a consuming fire, and his breath is like an overflowing stream that reaches even to the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of destruction. And a bridle that causes them to err will be in the jaws of the people. So you shall have a song, as in the night when a holy feast is kept, and gladness of heart as when one marches in procession with a flute to go to the temple on the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and the descending blow of his arm to be seen, coming down with indignant anger and with the flame of a devouring fire, amid crashing blast and cloudburst, tempest and hailstones. At the voice of the Lord, the Assyrians will be stricken with dismay and terror when he smites them with his rod. And every passing stroke of the staff of punishment and doom which the Lord lays upon them shall be to the sound of Israel's timbrels and lyres, when the battle he attacks Assyria with swinging and menacing arms. For Topheth, the place of burning and abomination, has already been laid out and long ago prepared. Yes, for the Assyrian king and the god Molech, it has been made ready. Its pyre made deep and large with fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, kindles it.
There was your song again, John.
Yeah, I saw the song again, and we're still dealing with Molech.
Yeah.
So if we go to Ezekiel 44, now this is a time that Israel has defiled itself.
Yeah.
As time and again, you know, the Lord would bring a righteous leader to the headship, to the king. And he would do away with the idols that the people had defiled themselves with. And why is that? It's because, well, one reason, it's because that when the Lord told Joshua to go into the land, and that there were three of the kingdoms or tribes that he had to defeat that they could handle, and seven, you're too weak to do. They're stronger than you are. You need me. He gave very specific instructions to him about destroying all of the giants, all of the Nephilim in the land, was to destroy every one, which the Israelites under Joshua's leadership did not do. One of those peoples they actually signed a treaty with. Why? Because they came, they dressed like they were on a very, very long journey, and they prematurely wore out their sandals and their tunics and everything. And so they appeared to be very far away. And so Israel and Joshua, without consulting the Lord, signed a peace treaty with them. Because they're outside our territory, they're very far, far away. And this brings in the truth that we are being pushed to sign peace treaties with those that appear to be one thing but are in fact quite another. The time that we're in is a time for overcomers. For us to overcome, we need the absolute clear communication from the Holy Spirit about where do we see, what do we see, how do we hear, what are we hearing, and then what do we do with it? You know, the five questions, and I don't have them in front of me now, but what were they? Will you see? Will you hear me? Will you obey my word? And having done all to stand, will you stand? And this is the time that we have to know what we believe and know that we know that we know. Because I truly believe that we are in a time, if we haven't been there yet, we are on the doorstep of a time where it simply will not be okay to believe anything. Anything in particular. The truth is the truth, and everything else is going to be thrown in the fire.